Good morning. Welcome to our program. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We are glad that you've tuned in this morning. We hope that you'll become a regular listener. At the end of our broadcast, you will hear the meeting times of our services at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any of these services, and you will always be warmly received. For the past few weeks, we have been examining the question concerning the resurrection of the dead. And we've been using as a text for our study the letter that Paul wrote to the Church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going through this chapter verse by verse in explaining and answering the questions concerning the resurrection of the dead. We will begin our study this morning in verse number 24. We will be reading verse 24 through verse 28. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom of God to the Father, when he puts an end to all rule, all authority, and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet, but when he says all things are under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. And now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. In these few verses, we get a little bit of glimpse insight to what's going to happen at his coming. The kingdom. There are many in the religious world who believe that when the Lord comes a second time, he's coming to establish a kingdom, and he's coming to reign upon the physical earth for 1,000 years in a millennial period, and then there will be a resurrection, and then there will be a judgment, and so forth. Yet, in this passage, that theory is completely obliterated. Notice in verse 24, then comes the end. The end of what? The end of time. And he delivers the kingdom to God. He's going to give the kingdom back to the Father. How are you going to give something back that you do not yet possess? You see, the kingdom is the church. Read Daniel chapter 2, verse 44 and 45, and also Matthew 16, verse 18 and 19. The kingdom, the church, will be returned to his Father at the end. And at the end, it says, this will not be the end of supposedly the church age and then the coming of the kingdom. This will be the end of life as we know it. Death will be forever destroyed. People will no longer die. Death will have been defeated. This is the last enemy to be subdued, and it will be subdued forever. By the resurrection of the dead, this is accomplished. Read Psalms 8 in verse 6. This must be fulfilled. When all things are subject unto him, to who? To the Father. If Christ did not raise, this prophecy would go unfulfilled. All will have been surrendered unto him. He will voluntarily give the kingdom over to his Father, and he himself will be subject to the Father. He received that authority from his Father in Matthew 28, verse 18, when we read that all power and authority in heaven and earth were given to him. And then he will voluntarily turn it over to his Father when he gives the kingdom over to him at the end. This does not lessen his deity. To deny the resurrection is an assault on God's purpose for the universe. Understand what he's saying. Death is an enemy to all of us. Yet death cannot be overcome until we are resurrected from the dead. Christ, you say, well, wait. Christ overcame death when he was resurrected, and death has been defeated. Yes, it has been defeated for Christ. He never died again. But that cannot be said of us until we ourselves overcome death. When we overcome death, all men will overcome death. That is at the final resurrection. And when that resurrection takes place, then death has been defeated. It has been subdued to never trouble man again. And at that time, the kingdom and the authority and the power that was given to the Son will be handed back to the Father. These are the things that will happen at the second appearance of Jesus Christ. And now we understand that death will not truly be overcome until there is a resurrection from the dead. And we will not be resurrected from the dead until that final day, the final day when the Lord returns to judge his people, and before the judgment will be the resurrection. We next want to look at verse 29. This is a passage that has been perverted by some in the religious world, namely the Latter-day Saints. Look at verse number 29. Otherwise, what will you do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead do not rise at all, why then are you baptized for the dead? Now, it is impossible to conclude from this passage that it authorized baptism for the dead. Paul is not even discussing that subject. Paul is simply showing if one denies the resurrection of Christ, then they are being baptized for a dead person. If Christ is not risen, what difference would it make for one to be baptized into Christ? Understand this. What is obedience by baptism? It is dying to sin, it is being buried in a watery grave, and it arrives to walk in newness of life. If there is no resurrection, then we are being baptized into Christ, who is a dead man. Because if he never arose from the grave on the third day, then we've been baptized into the death of someone who's still dead. No. The reason that we arise to walk in newness of life is because Christ arose. That's what gives baptism power. We contact the blood of Christ, and in essence, we gain mastery over spiritual death because we have been forgiven by the blood of Christ. And those who deny the resurrection of Christ from the dead then are being baptized for someone who is dead, and that baptism would then be invalid. What Paul is doing in verse 29 is reasoning if their conclusion that they want to maintain is that Christ did not rise and that there is no resurrection, then their obedience to Christ was futile and in vain. Again, look at the context. This is no proof text for baptism for the dead. By the way, one cannot obey for another person. No such thing as godparents, standing in, believing for someone else. The only way that one can render obedience to the gospel is by their free will desire and fulfilling the requirements set by God. All this passage is telling us is that those who deny the resurrection are also denying that salvation in Christ is not really as powerful as the scriptures claim. Next, look at verse 30 through 33. And why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If in the manner of men I have fought with the beast at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? If the dead do not rise, let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. If there is no resurrection, we stand in jeopardy every hour. We stand in eternal jeopardy. Paul is dying daily. To those who are trying to oppose him in his preaching, he is doing everything in his power to teach them the truth. Why would Paul be willing to die daily for a hoax? If these things are false, let us eat, drink, and be merry. Let us live it up. Let us grab life in all of its gusto. Live it up, for that's all there is. Paul tells them to cease association with those who would corrupt them by denying the resurrection of Christ. Paul is warning them that those who deny the resurrection of Christ are enemies of the cross. They are enemies to their soul, and they should be avoided. But Paul is also saying that if there is no resurrection of Christ, then there is no resurrection, and if there is no resurrection, then we don't need to serve God. We just need to go out and enjoy life and everything that it offers. You only go around once, grab all the gusto you can. That's the thinking of men. Well, if there is no resurrection, then that would be good advice. But dear listener, there is, was a resurrection. There will be a resurrection. And so that type of thinking is futile, and it is something that will cost us our soul in eternity if we adapt that kind of attitude and deny the evidence contained in Scripture, not only of the resurrection of Christ, but our own at the end of time. Now let us look at verse number 34. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to their shame. What he is talking is not to awake out of sleep, but to awake out of the stupor that men have placed them in by teaching them this false doctrine of denying the resurrection. These men may, by man's definition, be very wise in human wisdom and in human philosophy, yet they do not have the proper knowledge of God and of His Word. Paul was ashamed that they had been taken in by such teaching. How could they accept the false teaching denying the resurrection of the dead? Such teaching came from man, not from God. And he tells them to awake. Wake up. We need to understand that these are false teachers who make such claims, and the evidence is overwhelming, not only concerning the resurrection of Christ, but concerning our own bodily resurrection. Now, Paul is going to anticipate some doubt about what he's saying. In verse 35, he says, "But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish ones, what you sow is not made alive until it dies." The questions are being asked aloud, and in the next few verses, Paul is going to answer them. The question is, how are the dead raised up? Okay, if there is a resurrection, then people want to know, how will the dead be raised up? And in what body do they come? When we are resurrected, what type of body will we have, and in what form will we be? Well, those are good questions. But notice, these are questions that are asked by those who are doubters. Doubters of the resurrection. They deny the resurrection. And since they deny the resurrection, then they are asking questions that demonstrate that their conclusions are true, because these questions cannot be answered. That's false. Paul is going to answer those two questions. And he begins by verse 36, setting the foundation for our next study, that what one sows is not made alive until it dies. A seed does not produce crop until it is buried in the ground. When it's buried in the ground, it dies, but then it brings forth some type of harvest that is life. Well, we'll further talk about that concept next week. And in the following verses, Paul will answer those two questions. How will the dead be raised, and in what body will they be raised? We will examine the answer to those two questions next Lord's Day, Lord willing. Again, the resurrection is a vital subject. Tune in again next Sunday. Thank you for listening, and we all hope that you have a nice day. Come and worship with us.